Coach, first of all, thank you so much for doing this. And let's start with the question: how do you feel now? First game out of the, out of the way, a comfortable win against one of the teams that everybody thought was going to be a favorite. So, how do you look at all this?
Firstly, thank you for having me, Sandeep. Pleasure to finally speak with you. And no, to get the first game out of the way, I wouldn't say get out of the way. It was an exciting, always is as a first game, both for me personally, being in the ISL for the first time, and for the players. Everybody looks forward to the first game of the season. So it was nice to play the first game and for us to play well. And I wouldn't say it was, I don't know if you said it was easy. It certainly wasn't. The work rate that the players that we had put into that game to play the way that we wanted to play was very impressed. I was very impressed with that. So that was a very, very impressed thing I took from the game.
So, from the previous manager that was there at Mumbai City, this is a slightly different sort of a style. So, if you could, in your own words, say the kind of football that you enjoy, not necessarily that you want to play all the time, but the kind of football that you enjoy, you would like your team to play, what would that be?
Yeah, it won't be too dissimilar. I'll give you a couple of trigger words of possession-based football, attacking football. But the main one for me is that players are very clear on what we want to do as a team, and they're very clear on their roles within the team. And I think if everyone can be on the same page, which can be difficult at times because there's 27 players we have here in the squad, so to get everyone pointing in the same direction and understanding their roles within the team and onto the field. That's the hardest thing for me to try and get into the group. But once you have that, players are then able to express themselves. And that's the best bit for me. Once you have that, players can express themselves. And if they express themselves, they can enjoy themselves. And that's the bit, watching from the sideline, I want to be excited. I want to enjoy watching the game. And I want to enjoy my teams playing the game. You know, you want players running around with smiles on their face because things are going well, but also because they're playing well. So that's kind of a small nutshell, I suppose, of kind of how I look to approach games.
So, looking forward to the season after the first game, where like, is there any points that you think you can improve? I know generally coaches say we can improve everywhere, but is there specifically anything that you want to improve on, or certain players and certain moves, etc.?
Yeah, it's the same as any first outing. There was parts of the game that I was very happy with, in terms of how we set up defensively, our defensive structure, how we pressed, and how we played as well, from the back through and sometimes over. So I was happy with that. There was certainly moments in the game that we're going to have to improve because I thought we got quite fortunate at times to not have goals against us. So we need to really switch on at key moments because those key moments in other games may cost us opportunities for points and may affect the actual performance itself.
So before the game, I asked the question at the press conference about motivation of a defending champions, and you had given me an answer at that time. So I just wanted to dig a little bit deeper, because like you said, you're coming into a team that is champion, league champions, ISL final champions. You've come in. Do you think you coming in now has changed the dynamics? Do you think they're hungrier? You mentioned certain higher expectations that you want to go and try and achieve. So, how does that whole dynamic work for you?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I've changed the dynamic. I'd like to think I've just continued on a dynamic that was here, and we're now trying to take it to a different place. So last year the club hadn't won anything, and Sergio and his staff and the players achieved things that this club had never done before. So they took it to another level. My job now is to involve the players in a new journey, a new chapter, without chucking everything out, because that would be naive and stupid because of how successful the group were last year. So for me, it's about being trying to understand what the group felt they were successful within last year to take with us this year, but also look at where we want to go and where the players want to go. And we've done those sessions off the field as well as on, and now it's about trying to work towards those targets.
So Champions League is something, is that something that's already in the back of your mind? Because it's all in the back of our minds. When you look at Mumbai City, we're looking and thinking, oh, can they do better than Goa did last year? Because that's something that we constantly keep thinking about. So is that something that you're that's on back on the back of your mind?
We know it's there. We won't say it's not there because it is, and it will be exciting for us when we get there. But the famous saying, one game at a time, and focusing on the here and now. We know it's there, and it is an exciting time for the fans, the club, for me personally, for the players who want to play in that competition. But it's important that we approach this season and this league as well as we did against Goa for every single game over the next 19, because we want to arrive onto the Champions League off the back of a successful season.
So now, can we talk a little bit about you now? Something about your background. I know you come from Oxford. You had almost, 19-year career already?
This is my 19th season.
That's really impressive, right? So can you give a little bit of background on that?
I finished playing when I was 18. And started coaching. So I coached at a local college and started teaching at a college from the age of 19. That lasted for around 4 years, where I was teaching diplomas and degrees to 16 to 19 year olds at my local college, while also working as an academy coach with my local club, which was Oxford United. I then spent a 10-year period at Oxford United working through the whole setup. From academy through to reserve team through to first team. So I spent the last 2 years of that 10 years in the first team environment in the English Football League, working under some wonderful people. Chris Wilder for a 4-year period, and I was fortunate to work under him in the first team environment for 2 of those years. I moved to New Zealand and took up a role with the Wellington Phoenix in the A-League. Spent 3 years there, 2 as an assistant, nearly 1 as the head coach in the A-League. Left the A-League, went back to the UK. Spent a year with Stoke City, who were in the Premier League at that time, with their under-23s or reserve team. And then had the opportunity to return to New Zealand to take up the national team roles. So to be head coach for the under-20s, the under-23s team, so the Olympic side, and also be the assistant coach to the senior men's national team. So that was something I jumped back over and done for 3 years. Then moved to Melbourne. Had a year in Melbourne where we won the A-League and won the grand final. And now I find myself here in India, leading this fantastic club. So an 18-year journey wrapped up in all of a minute there for you.
I wanted to ask you about Wellington, actually, because you were talking about going from England to New Zealand. How was that as a culture shock? How was football in New Zealand perceived? Like, we know about Sarpreet Singh because he has an Indian background. We sort of like to claim these Indian players from there as one of our own. So how was the whole thing in New Zealand?
Yeah, I think the first thing, I was 29 when I left the UK, and it was an opportunity that came up where I looked and thought, how often do you get the chance to go and experience a new way of living, a new culture, a new way of working in football that you may never get again in your life? So that was the first thing that really excited me about moving countries. You know, that's another reason behind coming to India. So in terms of the football there, it's very much still, it's the fastest growing sport. So there's more players playing football than there are any other sport. However, it is a very rugby dominated landscape, you know, similar to cricket in India. You know, so football isn't the number one sport, it's the number two. But what there is in place now is all the structures underneath that weren't maybe there 10 years ago. They've been put in place. And what we're starting to see now in New Zealand especially is a real development of young players, and you've mentioned Sarpreet. You know, I give Sarpreet his professional debut at Wellington, and I took him to the World Cup, which got him signed for Bayern Munich. So there's those types of players that are now coming out of New Zealand because of the things that have been put in place over the last 10 years. That they're more not just capable now of going to compete against their counterparts on the world stage, but they can now go and show that they can win on those levels. So there'll be a few more that come out of that space over the next few years, I'm sure.
I was checking your record. You had a great record with the team. You won titles with them. You took them to the World Cups and etc. In fact, is it true that the players wrote to the association to not let you go when you had to leave before the Olympics? So that speaks volumes about the relationship that you managed to strike with the players.
So I had a wonderful. We had 23 games overall with the under-20s and the under-23s, and we did. We had some huge successes that hadn't simply been achieved before. Not just in terms of winning and results on the field, which is what we did have, but more so how we changed the way that we played and putting on a style of football that, you know, allowed New Zealand football players to show what they could do, you know, which was possession based, which was attack minded football, which was that they were more capable than they either thought or that others maybe thought. You know, we certainly knew that they were capable, but we just wanted to give them the platform and the way to play that allowed them to showcase themselves. And that was the really exciting thing for me. The results were great and the championships that we won were good. But for me, it was about leaving that place in a better space. And for me, that was that playing style that hopefully has been left out and will continue on.
So how different is it coaching a national team side as opposed to a club side? Because club you get a day-to-day sort of a thing, but national team not so much. But you still manage to make them change the way they play, or is under-23s, under-20s different from national team, which you are an assistant in the senior national team as well, right?
Yeah, the biggest thing for me is time and communication. So what I did obviously in the national team, we only get access to the players physically and one-on-one when we bring them into camps. And that's generally only during FIFA windows. Obviously at club level, you get day-to-day, so you get a lot more time. But the one thing I worked at the national team level was making sure that when we weren't in camp, the communication with every single player, of which there were 79 over a two-year period, was very clear, was very consistent. So weekly or every 2 weeks minimum. So they were involved in what we were doing. They were aware of what was coming, how they were going to fit into what we wanted to do. And then the second part to that was getting around and seeing those players in their environments. So there was, of a 365-day lead into the World Cup, I spent two-thirds of the year around the country. So it was only a third of the year I spent in my own home, in my bed. It was, I spent two-thirds of the year getting around, spending time with the players in their clubs, spending time with their coaches, getting a good understanding about them, what they're trying to do. So when you go and watch the game, you've got a far greater understanding of what the team's trying to do and what they're trying to do. So that was the two things, was time and communication.
And about the culture of New Zealand in football as well, you were mentioning. I read somewhere that the first game that you went for, you went from Oxford all the way over there, and the crowd suddenly was about 450, I think you mentioned. Is that the norm there, or has the numbers gone up? Because I've seen full stadium with for the rugby. That's the only thing I've seen.
Yeah, that's good research. That's
Yeah.
good research you've done. Yeah, my first game in New Zealand was a game where there was 450 people, but that was New Zealand. The way football is structured over there, or was structured, it used to be split into a winter and a summer competition. So don't think I've got time to take you through the whole parts of that. But there's only one professional club in New Zealand, which is Wellington Phoenix. You know, when they play at home, which they did twice last year, there was over 20,000 people that turn up to those games. So there is a big football support in New Zealand. But for the first game I went to, it was more of a local level game where there was 450, which for that level of football at that time was very good.
Okay. And did you work with Roy Krishna at that time when you were in the Wellington Phoenix?
Yes, I did. So I was the assistant for 2 years and then had Roy when I was head coach there for the final season that I was there. So I know Roy very well. I know Roy's family. He's an excellent player and he's more so an excellent person. He's a great person and has a wonderful family. So it's great to see him doing very well in India. There's no surprises that he's done as well as he has here. And let's be careful how I say this. I'm looking forward to seeing him against when we play ATK and making sure that he doesn't play too well against us.
So this brings me back to some question I wanted to ask you, which is you seem very I don't know the word, very precise in what you want from your players in the field. So in that sense, when you have someone like Roy Krishna, and I'm going to take examples from ISL, or you have players of that ilk who can score goals, who can cause like Harvey yesterday for Odisha. Do you specifically plan to stop them, or is it about the system as a whole and how you stop the team?
Yeah, I've taken a kind of approach to the teams that I've coached over the last 8, 9 years, and it's we can spend a lot of time either focusing on opposition and opposition players, or we can spend most of that time focusing on what we want to do and how we want to do it. You know, and the only thing we have control of, genuine control of, is what we are going to do. We don't know what opposition are going to. We can guess, and we can watch games, and we can try and prepare players. Sort of rule we put in place is 80% us, 20% opposition. And all that simply means is of the time we spend together on the field, on the presentations, when we talk about what we're going to do, 80% of that time is about how we want to, whether it's in possession or whether it's how we defend, it's about how our structures look in those moments. But at the same time, there's still an important 20% where we need to prepare the players for what we think will come. You know, because we'd be stupid and again naive to not recognize the strengths of other teams, whether it's an individual or the team themselves. So we do try to prepare, but the only issue with that is we can't guarantee how that opposition are going to play. So if we spend too much time, you know, trying to maybe focus on a Roy Krishna and then he doesn't start the game, there's a lot of time that's been wasted where it could have been spent elsewhere.
Also, coach, recently we had an opportunity to get some sort of a coach's take on systems and, you know, tactics and things. So I just want to get your opinion. It's of my belief that when you talk about the 3-4-3s and the 5-3-2s and, you know, all the other formations, it's a little overrated because you sort of are in and out of the system. Sometimes the back three becomes a back four, or go over the wingers, go forward. It all sort of changes. So do you think as fans, we sort of look at this formations and personnel a little too much rather than looking at the team as a whole, because overall tactics probably takes more precedence? It's my view. I just wanted to know your opinion.
Yeah, there's a fantastic book called Inverting the Pyramids over the past 50 or 60 years. And I won't say the evolution of formations because they've always been there, but it talks about the trends that do come around, you know, and certainly the trends in this league at the moment seem to 5-2. So for me, it's not so much around the formation. For me, the formation is the framework, and that's all it is. It's the framework to a structure. How you operate within that structure, for me, depends upon your approach to the game, so me as a coach, and then also the personnel and the people you have within that structure. Because if they can't work and can't play within that system, yeah, there needs to be some kind of flexibility. So for me, yes, it has its place, but I don't think you can...
In terms of emotions as well, I tend to feel like player emotions are something that we should take into account a lot, especially as a coach or as fans also, because sometimes they're up, sometimes they're down. A good run, bad run. How much of a difference does that make to the team?
Makes a huge one. And that's where the time spent working on. We've spent some time here working on identity and who we are. You love those behaviors because you don't want, you know, you want people to enjoy the goods, but you don't want to, when things don't go the way you want, they can't be this up and down, especially in bio bubbles like this, because it can quickly sway. So for me, it's about recognizing what we want to do, and it's recognizing the types of behaviors that we want.
I think there's a little lag in the audio. Can I ask you about who's the best player that you've played with or coached and played against?
That's a great question. I don't know. There's not one that springs to mind, and I don't say that because I don't want to give you an answer. I say that genuinely because every single player that I've worked with has been very different. You know what, they've been extremes. You know, we've had the examples I'll give you of their journeys that are now playing first team football in the Football League, in the Premier League, for international football, Republic of Ireland. So there's different types of players in that respect. There's the types of Roy Krishna characters, Dylan Foxes, Adrian Lunas that I had at Wellington and Melbourne. There's players I had in the Premier League when I was with the reserves there, you know, all the way through Peter Crouch and Jack Butland. So there's a real extreme different mix of experiences, ages and characters there. So yeah, I wouldn't want to pick one of those. What I would say is the big consistency along the whole thing has been genuinely building relationships with those people to try and get the best. That's been the regardless of age, regardless of experience, and building those relationships to try and get the best out of them.
Are you also a pilot, licensed pilot?
Yeah, I can't shake that off. I think that's... Yeah, I am. I've done my pilot's license back in Wellington when I was there. It was just something different. There's a big part to me that is very keen on having balance within life, you know. So I think sometimes you can immerse yourself too much to the detriment of you as a person and your mental health as well. So actually having some balance in your life and maybe switching off from football can be very good for you and also good for the job. So I took up an offer to take a flying lesson, and 3 years later, and a lot of money and a lot of time, a lot of exams later, I took my pilot's test and passed that in Wellington. I think that was 2017. Yes.
So do you constantly fly? I mean, obviously not now, but generally when you were in New Zealand and things?
Yeah, when I was back in New Zealand, I did. Again, to try and get it once a week, just to try and keep yourself fresh and relevant, because you don't want to start forgetting things too quickly there, especially if you're a couple of thousand feet in the air. You need to have that quite fresh.
So how was that feeling? Like, we've all obviously flown in flights and things, but to be sort of a master of your own destiny in that situation, how is that feeling? How, and is there any correlation that you can bring to football from that?
Yeah, the biggest one that struck me, and I was asked this the other day, or the other week, and I'll give you the same answer. It's about just being very clear on your process and remaining calm, you know, because as long as you're clear on what you're doing and you're clear on what you want, and it has, same as in the plane, there's ways of taking off, there's ways of flying, there's ways of landing. You know, if you don't follow those, not almost to the T, you can skip certain parts, but there's certain parts you certainly can't skip. And then when things do get bumpy, you know, whether it be turbulence or even results-wise in terms of football, if you can remain calm, but only remain calm because, again, we talk about that consistency of knowing who you are and what we're trying to do and your behaviours. Same in the air. If you start to panic when you're up in the air, you're going to find yourself in trouble. So it's, yeah, that would be the biggest thing. It's that I'm sticking to process and also understanding of remaining calm.
And this association that we have now with City Football Group, Mumbai City, Melbourne, where you were successful, won the title, and New York and all these clubs, I think that's a very smart thing for the club to do, to have so many, I mean, for the group to do as such. So do you have any sort of idea about what the grand plan is? And for you, obviously, I think it's a great opportunity to see what India can do in the Champions League for you. And going forward, I'm not sure what the plans are. But do you have any overriding understanding of what the grand scheme of things are?
Yeah, for me, I mean, I can only give you my experiences since I've come into the City Football Group. You know, there's a way that we want to play, certainly, on the field. You know, and the support that is wrapped around that is huge. So we get, from a coaching perspective, I have the ability to connect with all the other coaches of the other clubs within the CFG Group. You know, and that was where I was fortunate early on last year to connect with Sergio. And Sergio and me have been communicating since December last year, not in terms of the job here, but just in terms of coaching and ideas and watching each other's games. And you know, it's something that you don't get access to if you weren't part of that. Get hugely supported by the staff back in Manchester as well, who do watch our games and offer advice. But it doesn't just extend to me. You know, there's opportunities for me as a coach to move within the group. And we've started to see that across the group with coaches, not just myself. But it also extends to the other staff that we have, you know, medical, sports science, and so on. But there's that ability for those guys to connect with their counterparts and with people there to just try and get the best practice and best ideas that we can then bring into Mumbai and bring into the club here. So for me, that's the exciting part about being involved here.
And can you talk about the bubble? Have you been in a bubble before? Is it the first experience?
To this extent, in terms of a season, yes. You know, we would often find ourselves in a bubble environment when we would travel for international games and tournaments. You know, we'd be away for 5 or 6 weeks in a very similar type of space as we are here. But in terms of a time period of 5 months, no, this is my first experience of being in a bubble and a bio bubble at that.
Do you think the season is going to be decided by how the teams manage to sort of navigate the situation in the bubble in terms of emotions and all the other things, family being away and, you know, personal stuff? So do you think that will be a major factor in deciding who wins the season?
I think it will play an important factor in that, yes. And I'll share this with you, where my first meeting with the playing group here, I asked them, you know, it's not about me coming in and starting afresh. It's about recognize what went well here last year, because we want to take that with us. And the overwhelming feedback from the players, probably about 70 or 80% of it actually, was around the environment, was around the feeling of family, was around the togetherness of the group and how positive that was last year and how important that was to then be able to perform on the pitch. So, you know, that's the feedback from the playing group here last year on how important the off-field work or the off-field environment was to the on-field performances that people did see. So, yes, I would certainly say that would play an important factor going again this year.
So I'm just going to shoot a few questions randomly because that's what we do here. And New Zealand has always been one of those places that is in my bucket list that I always wanted to visit. It looks like an outstanding place. One of my favorite, Lord of the Rings, I'm a big Tolkien fan. So Lord of the Rings are shot there. There's a Shire, that thing is there. I want to go and visit. So what is your experience? How is New Zealand as a country when you went there?
New Zealand would be a place that I call home and still call home now. You know, I grew up in the UK for 29 years, spent 5.5 years in New Zealand, but that was where there's a large part of my heart that is still in New Zealand. I've got lots of good friendships and relationships back there. And it's home. And that was because of the way I was made to feel when I arrived and the way I was treated in my time that I was there. And that's just simply down to the Kiwi people. Excellent people, wonderful culture, and the country itself, when you do get there, it's a beautiful country. Both North and South Island, well worth taking some time to go and visit.
You mentioned culture, so I just wanted to check. Culture, football culture in England is massive and varied. Within England is not a particularly big country, but within there, there's significant differences in how, say, Liverpool associates with football to a London club. You know, so from that perspective, how is it the culture of football different in New Zealand and then here in India? Obviously, I haven't seen the whole fanfare around it and the fans on the, you know, on the stadium and how they relate to it. But still, how do you see the differences in culture of football?
Yeah, I mean, I delved quite deep into culture in New Zealand. We incorporated, you know, the Maori practice, or Maori being the indigenous people of New Zealand, of the land. We incorporated large parts of Maori indigenous practice within our football environment, and that really enhanced and helped the performances on the field, but also bring the playing group very close together. So that was something that was very special to me and left a big mark, and still does leave a big mark with me. So that was big. In terms of football landscape or football culture, there's a massive football culture in New Zealand. To give you an example, the last time, every time there's New Zealand football, the men's team play at home, whether it be for the Intercontinental World Cup playoffs, they always sell out the stadiums. You know, there's 38,000 people, whatever the capacity of the stadium is, they'll sell out. You know, Wellington Phoenix last year, two home games, 25, 26,000 people. So there is a massive fan base and there's a massive football culture there. So I see a very similar thing here in India, where I go back to, you know, rugby is still the number one sport in terms of what people associate New Zealand with. When I come to India, I still associate cricket as being the number one sport that people identify with. However, simply by being here for 4.5 weeks, nearly 5 weeks now, you only have to see how many people do support football, and the amount of people that, whether it be fan engagement that, you know, certainly we've had here so far, but the reach and the amount of people that are interested in helping develop and grow this league, yourself included, I find there's a lot of similarities for me between New Zealand and India that define those, or very similar across it themselves.
You mentioned Maori. So is the word mana associated with you in any way, shape or form?
Yes, it is. Mana was a very important word, and is a very important word in New Zealand, around how you carry yourself and how you represent who you are and what you are, and not just you, but your family and your past. So that played a big role in some of the work we did do, and that was very important to me when I left New Zealand, was trying to enhance, not just chance, but you enhance other people's mana while you're there as well.
So you obviously delve deep into their culture to mix it with football. First of all, how important is that, do you feel? I've been reading a lot of books about football and culture recently. So how important do you feel that is to have a successful time or a team or a club? And have you done something similar in India as well?
Yeah, so for me, looking at New Zealand, every country you go to, again, I'm a guest. I was a guest in New Zealand. And whenever I go back there, I will always be a guest because I wasn't born there. You know, so when you go to someone else's country, the first thing I did was try to learn as much as I could about New Zealand, the culture, and not turn up and try to pretend I know it all and so on. So try and understand the people, what's gone before you, and what you want to take with you. So the biggest thing that struck me was what I was experiencing in New Zealand from a cultural perspective, the indigenous practices and ways of working. So when you go on to a marae, which is the Maori land, there's a way that you are welcomed on and there's a process that you go through. And by understanding what that process was, for me, it was truly unique to New Zealand. No other country, I couldn't bring that here and drop that into here, because it's not an Indian thing. It's New Zealand. It's specific to that country. But what I found was, by bringing it into a sporting context, there were so many benefits and wins we could have, whilst also tying it back to New Zealand. So whenever we went to the World Cup, we were still close to home because the work that we had done represented where we'd come from, and the players had all done a lot of work on that. So that was very important. In terms of coming into India, I'm now at the early stages of doing a very similar thing, which for me is now trying to gain an understanding of what is here, what type of culture there is, rather than just coming in and saying, right, we're going to do this. I need to first understand it and then look at what things are unique to Indian football that we may be able to bring in and enhance the football environment.
So if I could give some unsolicited advice, there is a writer called Kaushik Bandyopadhyay. I think he's a historian. He has done some extensive work on Indian football and history about the culture of football in Bengal, in maybe Delhi and that side, Punjab, etc. I think it could be, I mean, it will certainly open my eyes. But yeah, maybe that would be great. I can maybe send that PDF or something to Anuj if you're so like.
That'd be great because, you know, don't get me wrong, and I had this chat with Vikram, our winger here, you know, and when I started with the New Zealand teams, there was a bit of a feeling maybe amongst the players that they weren't as good as other players when we went to a World Cup. Whereas like, the reality was, they were. They very much were. But it often took them one or two games to recognise and understand that they were. But by that point, maybe the results had gone the other way. So enhancing and bringing in this cultural work give us a real clear identity on who we were as a team and who we were as Kiwis representing the country whilst we were away. But it gave a real sense of meaning behind that. And that for me was the most powerful part to that cultural work. So if I can understand, and there's more things like you've just suggested there that may help us in this Indian environment, that would be great if you could send that over.
Absolutely, because India is such a massive country. I come from Kerala, which is at the southern end. So the culture that we grew up is so different from Bangalore, where I am right now, or in Kolkata, in Kashmir, or Goa. Everywhere it's sort of different, and it's just fascinating read for me to figure it out. So just a couple more questions here, and you coach under age, I mean age categories, and then to the senior level. So we always say the biggest that jump from the age category to open level is a big chasm. So what would you say is the biggest challenge? And that's something that sort of India struggles a little bit with. So what do you think is the biggest challenge in that?
For coaching or for players moving between youth and senior?
From a player's perspective.
The biggest thing I see is maybe, not maybe, the biggest thing I do see in young players is a lack of patience sometimes to gain that the work that may be required for the senior space, you know. And it's that fine line. We have a lot of good young players, you know, right around the world. But I think sometimes they expect, and I don't know if that's a modern thing in terms of just life. I think young players can be very quick to be given things, and you know, not just in football but in sport around the world. If high performance teams, you don't get given anything. You know, you have to be patient. You have to work, and then you have to wait for your opportunity to get and show what you can do. And you need the trust of the people that work with you. But once the players understand, I go back to what we're trying to do here. Once the players understand what we're all trying to do as a team, once they understand how they fit within that team, and once they understand the development plans that we've put in place for them, how they can then get into the team and then stay in the team, hopefully that patience plan will get to, and that helps that journey for them. But the biggest thing for me that I've seen from youth to senior would maybe be just a bit of impatience behind, you know, thinking they should be a little bit further than they are, and trusting the people that have spent a lot of time working in that environment to bring them in.
Okay, this is the final question, and we ask this to everybody who comes on the show. What is the funniest thing that has happened to you on the football field, during a game, whatever it is? Like, if you have more than one, that's also fine, but something that sticks in your mind.
Funniest thing. Wow. Okay. Other than trying to return, just things. I stupidly, when balls come near me from the sideline, I've done it at the World Cup and I've done it in the A League. When balls come near me and I try to show my skill set that I think I have, and I try and return the ball with a one-touch pass, or I try and keep it up and pass it back. Very often they go wrong, and there's probably two or three examples: one from the World Cup and one from the A League last year. I thought I was better than I actually am, and I've tried to do that, and the ball goes totally the other way. And there was one last year where the fourth official actually came over and had a go at me because he thought I was time wasting, and I wasn't time wasting. I just had a really poor first touch. So those types of things is the first thing that springs to mind because they happen quite often, and I'm sure they'll happen again this year.
You are a goalkeeper, weren't
Ah, oh, this is 19 years ago. I used to try.
you? Oh, makes sense. Des, thank you so much for your time. It was great to catch up with you and talk about all this. And you very open-minded in the way you spoke to us. That's wonderful. And we wish you nothing but the best for the season and the Champions League as well. So yeah, thanks a lot.
Pleasure to speak to you, Sandeep, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.